RDU 98.5, welcome back to the show. Well, I am continuing my Ilam week here on the Burnt Breakfast with the Labour candidate, Sarah Pellett.
Good morning. Hi.
How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Yeah, good, really good. Well.
Do you enjoy this whole campaigning?
Oh, it's a blast, actually. I mean, I think it takes a little bit to kind of get your head into that space, especially when you've been working as hard as we've been working.
But, yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, well, as soon as you kind of get over that, it's just, I'm a people person.
Right.
So, yeah, and yeah. I think you need to be
it's a good
in
job.
This job.
And it's a good job to have, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And you voted yesterday as well?
I did, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. It's just an absolute... I don't know how to describe seeing your own name on the ballot paper.
Must of course, be so it's, strange.
It is really... It's really bizarre. Mm. Although it does mean that there's no, you know, there's no real wondering who you might vote for. Yeah. At least you'd hope not, right? But yeah, so it's just... It is a real blast. And we actually had some socials on Instagram of me voting, and I just want to say, like, we had permission to film,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
Clarify,
so
yeah.
You know, because people have got a bit upset saying, look, we're not allowed cameras in the booth, mm-hmm. and of course you're not, but we had special permission.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's jump into the nitty gritty of it a little bit.
Cool.
Of course, with campaigning, a lot of that comes down to talking to constituents. Face-to-face meetings and all that. So what are the kind of biggest challenges that you're hearing from Ilam residents?
Ilam is an electorate that is often really misunderstood. I think people think that it's just made up of wealthy people, but actually we have the second largest social housing area.
Wow.
And we have probably one of the most diverse, if not the diverse ethnic communities. We've got everybody, old, young, everybody in between. And so the issues that are faced by the constituents in Ilam are pretty much the same as faced across the country.
Yeah,
Cost of living is a big one. Housing is a big one. You know, and that's why, you know, looking at the new housing developments that we're building like fury makes me really happy, because it's hugely significant for the area.
So now I don't know how to ask this, to be honest. I haven't phrased it very well, but given what you've done, what have you done in the last 3 years that, you know, could really benefit from your re-election?
I mean, obviously more of the same is really, yeah, I mean, yeah. Having one of the big differences between me and the previous MP, was Gerry Brownlee, is that I've been in the electorate all the time, you know, boots on the ground there for the people, and my door's been open. And you'll see that with the hundreds and hundreds of people that we've helped. And a lot of it is really quiet work. You know,
you're not sort
of bellowing on social media that you've helped somebody with an immigration issue or somebody with a housing issue. But that sort of stuff is really critical when you're the local MP.
Right.
And so a lot of that is really quiet work. We have a lot of people that have been relying on us for a very long time. My team, obviously I spearhead the team, and I'm the one that's fronting up everything, but I have a really fantastic electorate office team that I direct. And so we kind of you know, when I first came into the role, I just said, look, we're here for the people. And and whatever you can do, you know, whatever we can do, whatever can be done, we will do. We've always promised to try. We can't promise to solve everybody's problems. I mean, wouldn't it be lovely?
Yeah.
And in terms of government, you know, that's more broad. It's more things like, look, we've got a social housing development that's just about to open around the corner from my office. That's 32 new, warm, dry, safe houses. We've got another 130 odd about to be rolled out just in the electorate alone. So, and that makes such a big difference to everybody. Having a warm, dry, safe place to live is critical if you're going to thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think an important side note to this whole housing thing is Ilam's special in the sense that it has a university in its electorate.
Yeah.
And a lot of students, like, that whole kind of concept of student living is almost intrinsically linked with poor housing and mould in homes and so on and so forth. So what are you kind of doing to rectify this is an issue.
Well, there's a lot that Labour has done, and a lot that I've been doing individually. But there's a couple of big things. One is removing no fault evictions has meant that tenants feel a little bit more secure in their homes.
Mm.
And what that means is when you look at things like the Warmer Homes Initiative that we set up to make sure that landlords meet a certain basic standard. And trust me, like it's basic, but it's good.
So that we don't
have black mold up the walls. You do have windows that open and a source of heating.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when you have no fault eviction, what that means is that people, all tenants and students in particular, feel they can't complain
because they're
just scared they're going to be kicked out.
Yeah.
We also stopped landlords putting up rents on a whim. So we basically restricted that ability for landlords to put rents up to once a year. So mm-hmm. we want to be fair to everybody.
Yeah,
but ultimately, you do need to kind of empower people to be able to say, hey, look, I've got mold in my bathroom. There isn't an extractor. You do need to do that, please. Could you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I'm really aware of this because I had two daughters, one of whom is still a student at UC. The other one was at Massey. And I know that with my eldest daughter, when I go into her flat, I'd see actually they're in breach here, you know.
And it was one of those situations.
I said, hey, babe, do you want me to reach out to your landlord? They go, no, absolutely not. Do not go anywhere near it.
Yeah,
so, of course, because they were at the time, it was before Labour came into government, they felt really vulnerable.
So there's that.
So and also things like the foreign purchasers, stopping that meant that we've got more properties that are available at a fairer rent. It just has that effect on the lower end of the market.
Yeah.
So whilst it's one of those things that doesn't seem to, but it really does.
And
there's kind of lots of extra little things here and there. Raising student allowance, of course, has helped,
mm-hmm.
but much more to do in that space. But in terms of accommodation, that's kind of it's just a small sample of the things that we've done to help.
This might be a slightly left of field question, but I had someone observe to me the other day that this discussion of light rail should be really poignant in Ilam because it would be a great area for Ilam. Something like this. What would you say to some comment like that?
Light rail in Ilam?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, Labour's committed to the mass rapid transport projects, the actual detail of that hasn't been finalised, but what we're all about is trying to give people increased options.
Yeah.
So it's not about stopping people driving or making people cycle or whatever. It's about making sure that whatever works for them actually works for them. There are always going to be people who are unable to cycle for, whatever reason that need to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Improving safety for things like on the cycleways, massive improvements that we've seen over the years, so that a lot of students are able to cycle in, which takes parking, it saves money, all of those really good things. Light rail, not so much, but look, I mean, it's all part of the broader plan.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's probably the best way to talk about it. Oh, now I completely forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yes. No, I remember.
We can talk about anything you
like. Oh, my gosh. great start. So, now you were elected in 2020, which was a phenomenally interesting election.
It really was.
The red wave, they referred to it as. What would you kind of say to those who voted Labour last election but aren't really sold on them this time round?
I think there's a lot that we've done that we haven't really communicated very well. I think if we're to be criticised for anything, I think it's that. Even like things that you would think would be, people would be absolutely sick of hearing about, like the free prescriptions, for everybody. Mm. There are still people who don't even know about it. Or they went, did Labour do that? It's like, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. And it's huge. And it's really huge for the community. The things we're talking about around rents. And obviously, we've been working through really unprecedented times over the 6 years we've had, over the 3 years we've had COVID pandemic, which is global in its impact, obviously. And most recent, you know, and assorted horrific stuff before and since, like the mosque shootings. But also we've the cyclone up in the North Island. I don't think the damage is really fully appreciated by people down here. And it really reminds me of sort of post-earthquake. You know, I would go, we were just devastated here, and we needed a lot of support, financial and social, everything. You know, we needed everything.
Absolutely.
But you'd go to the North Island and they'd be like, oh, aren't you over it yet? And it was we've barely started. And it's the second largest natural disaster New Zealand's ever experienced up in the north.
Yeah,
so it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of attention. But, you know, at the end of the day, Labour is who you want to have your back. You know, we've been there through the tough times. We've managed the economy through all of these challenges really successfully. And I think that's another success story that hasn't quite got through. But it's, you know, you just need to look at the facts. You need to look at inflation's peaked. It's coming down. Our businesses are thriving. Our tourism is coming back. You know, there's a lot of great stuff that we've managed to keep going through all of that. And I'm never going to apologize for the way that we supported businesses through the pandemic.
Yeah.
It cost a lot of money. But, you know, it's basically jobs and businesses that are here that would not be otherwise.
Yeah, of course.
So I think, you know, there's a lot that's great. And I think, you know, this is now is not the time to change. It really isn't. You know, now when the economy is under control, inflation is coming down, and all of the good things we've been working on whilst dealing with these disasters really coming to fruition, it's not the time to change. And certainly I don't want to leave the people of Ireland. You know, it's like I feel that I've been doing awesome work in the community, and it's a job of service, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I just want the opportunity to carry on serving the community.
Yeah, I think really well said there. I want to just reflect on your cyclone point for a moment, because I think that's a really good point. And often there can be South Island, North Island detachment, city to city.
Mm-hmm.
And often MPs or people, you know, involved in politics will talk about how Christchurch and more widely the South Island is kind of forgotten by the North Island and Parliament and government
which is rubbish.
What
really
would you say
is
to that?
Oh, look, I mean, I have pages of stuff that Labour in particular has done for the South Island,
or for Christchurch
in particular, since we're talking about Christchurch. We've got a brand new hospital car park that's just about to be opened. We've invested $1.09 billion in health infrastructure in Canterbury. In Ireland alone, we've put $7 million into schools infrastructure in 25 schools. That's just in Ireland. And, you know, I could, I do have pages of it. I can read it all out if you like.
I actually love, you know, your colour coding
it's
other
real
side.
Good, eh?
It's very
impressive. Look, $25 million for the Canterbury Museum. We've got in Ireland, $7 million for a biomass boiler at the university to try to reduce carbon emissions, and it goes on and on.
Yeah,
we had
five
really hardworking MPs that are constantly, you know, constantly on the back of the government going, come on, you know, we've got some more to do here. But the reality is that we also have to look after the rest of the country. You know, it's not all about me. And obviously we're representing our electorates to the very best of our ability, but we also have to take a national view. And by national with a small M, you know, very small N, we do have to take a broad view, because we're looking, you know, we're trying to look after the whole country. We're supporting everybody. So everything that we do has to reflect that. But by no means has Christchurch been neglected. Although, to be fair, Christopher Luxon does seem to think that we don't need any attention with, you know, not rescheduling the press debate that was due to happen. Yeah, I'm a bit salty, honestly, because I know it's just always such a cracking debate.
I love the press
on
debate.
Both sides. And it's not,
it's,
you
brilliant.
Know, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So I'm disappointed about that. But maybe he'll change his mind. I mean, I know we've offered Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, at least, you know, one of those days.
You.
Yeah, we're trying. We are trying.
Well, hopefully he picks one of them, because I'd like to see that debate. Anyway, final question, and this question I asked to all my guests, because we are RDU and we love the arts here on RDU.
Me too.
What music are you listening to at the moment?
Ooh, do you know, I'm a Depeche Mode girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so I kind of, they're on constant repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why
love
not?
It. So, yeah, I apologise that they're not a New Zealand band, but I'd be I'd be lying. And I don't do that. So,
no,
so no
of course
I'm,
not.
They've kind of carried me all the way through, you know, my life.
Yeah,
so, yeah, big fan. Big
great
fan.
Story. I love
just
that.
Just one day I'll get to see them again. I've seen them 2 or 3 times live, and they are extraordinary.
Yeah,
know,
I've heard
amazing
that before,
live band.
Actually. Oh
yeah,
my gosh. Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'll have to come along next time.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me
it's
this
been
morning.
It's a pleasure, Liam.
And yeah, your passion and the way you speak about politics, so refreshing, and it's nice to see some kindness and consideration in politics. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me
You're
this morning.
You're really welcome. Anytime.
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 I'll hold you to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, do.